You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. Plenty to get to on this edition of Phillies Today, as, you know, obviously a big week for the Phils. We'll get to the lineup. We'll get to the rotation, bullpen, as we always do, and our weekend preview, as well as the Phils head to San Diego to wrap up their road trip before the All-Star break commences next week. But we will also get to some, you know, All-Star selections and All-Star snubs. But the thing I want to lead here with, and the thing I'll probably spend the most time on today, is going to be the trade deadline, because it is that time of year where we are in the month of July, trade deadline obviously being July 31st, and rumors are starting to swirl, and you're seeing articles come out about what Dave Dombrowski is kind of thinking, what his mentality is going into this trade deadline. And for the third year in a row, we sit here and sort of think that, you know, is this finally the time where, as the National people like to say, Dave Dombrowski makes his all-in move and he ends up, you know, leveraging some of the farm and bringing in a guy who can really help contribute to this team, whether it's in the bullpen or whether it's a bat or whether it's both. So we will be spending a lot of time on that for sure as we begin here. And as I just said, the big question right now is, I guess, what is the biggest priority for this baseball team? And we've reached a point in this season where, at least for me, and I think for most people who watch this team day in and day out, we sort of know what the identity of the Phillies is at this point. It's a starting rotation that has obviously been phenomenal, and there's a reason that, yeah, there's the fact is that they got two All-Star snubs, which we'll get to in a little bit, but Zach Wheeler is a Cy Young candidate once again. Ranger and Chris Sanchez are pitching at an All-Star level. Lizardo has been really good for a large part of the year, and, you know, Aaron Nola, who has been one of the more consistent starters over the past decade or so, is coming back here at some point. So that's the reason why this team is obviously as successful as they've been so far, but they have a lineup that's inconsistent, and they have a bullpen that, with the Alvarado suspension and with losing Jeff Hoffman at free agency last year, that could use some help. And I think, obviously, you look at those last two things that I mentioned, the latter two being the lineup and the bullpen, and those are the areas where you need the most help here. And I think for a lot of people, that big question is, if you're going to give up one of your blue chip prospects, being, you know, Andrew Painter, Aiden Miller, Justin Crawford, even, you know, Eduardo Taid or Arun Escobar, any of these guys, you know, is it going to be for a bullpen piece or is it going to be for a bat? And which is the bigger priority for the Phillies as the trade deadline approaches? And to me, I think obviously you would like to address both, but if I am giving up one of my major prospects for somebody who you hope is going to contribute here down the stretch for the Phillies, to me it's going to be a bat in the outfield. Because I just look at the past week, and that is something that I could see happening in the postseason. And we've seen it happen in the postseason for the last 2 years, to where you get great starting pitching from your rotation, which, as I said, has been phenomenal this year, from Wheeler, Sanchez, Ranger. I trust Lizardo in a big spot. it feels like Aaron Nola is going to come back here. And with a well-rested Aaron Nola, you know, who knows? And if you don't trade Andrew Painter, which it seems like the Phillies don't want to, according to, I might as well get into it, Matt Gelb released a piece today for The Athletic, really good if you get around to reading it, but that the Phillies and Dave Dombrowski are finally ready to make one of those all-in moves. And pretty much everyone is on the table, they say, except for Andrew Painter. And if Aiden Miller, Justin Crawford, Tyeet or Escobar are available at the deadline, and if I'm getting rid of one of those guys, it's got to be for somebody who's going to contribute every single day. And to me, that is why the bigger priority is a bat. And if I am giving up something big time, one of these guys, to be able to get something in return, it has to be somebody who's going to be able to contribute every single game. And that, to me, is why they need a bat. And we've talked about the inconsistencies with the lineup. They just had an 0-for-24 stretch this past week with runners in scoring position. Now, it was nice yesterday in San Francisco that they were able to bounce back a little bit and put up 13 runs. You know, as it helps the run differential, that's for sure. But I think that this offense has been too inconsistent over the course of the past 3 years to be able to go into the postseason with Brandon Marsh, with Max Kepler, with Bryson Stott, Boehm even, Nick Castellanos. Like a lot of these guys, you just don't have the consistency that you're looking for. And I know that Schwarber and Bryce and Trey are great, and that's a really good way to start your lineup with those three guys. But in order to get a little more depth in the lineup, I think you finally need to get an outfielder that can play every day and you feel comfortable with in the field and you feel comfortable with at the plate. And so that's why, to me, the options that I've liked so far, Byron Buxton being one of them. Now, I know the injury issues that have followed Byron Buxton throughout his career, former top pick, and has been a guy where talent's never been an issue for Byron Buxton. It's all been staying on the field and being able to stay healthy. And he's a terrific fielder and not the fielder he once was when he was a little younger in his career and without the wear and tear, but still a really, really talented center fielder. But he did just get hurt a little bit in batting practice, got hit on the hand, but he's day-to-day. I'm not looking too deeply into that one. But he is a guy where he definitely intrigues me, and he's the type of guy they're looking for that's a plus guy in the field, plus guy at the plate, especially this year, putting up some great numbers, especially some power numbers too, which for a team that everyone likes to say, oh, we need to see the Phillies play a little more small ball. We need, they slug too much. Besides Kyle Schwarber, I don't know who really slugs on this team, to be honest. So I think they need a bat. Byron Buxton would be a great option as long as you're not having to give up probably Painter or Miller, I would say. Like, I'm not giving up my top two prospects for a guy who's a rental and for somebody who has had the injury concerns that he has throughout his career. And so the guy that I'm really looking at, who I would say right now, out of all the names that I've heard, is probably my number one guy. That's somewhat realistic. Like, sure, would I love the Phillies to trade for Ronald Acuna from the Braves? Like, there's no doubt about it. That would fix a lot of their problems there. But from all the guys that have been, you know, listed in articles and mentioned by name, Stephen Kwan from the Cleveland Guardians is somebody who really, really piques my interest. And that's for a few reasons. Obviously, it's because what he can do with the plate, he's a 290 to 300 hitter typically, doesn't strike out, one of those guys that's going to put up a tough at bat every time, and I think would slide really nicely into the leadoff spot when you would probably go Kwan, Trey, Bryce Schwarber, and then Castellanos, Boehm, however you want to take it from there. But great at the plate. He's great in left field, and I would feel confident with him going to left and then Marsh going to center. And I know Brandon Marsh isn't the greatest center fielder, as, you know, again, I don't know if he would have been able to get Patrick Bailey out the other night, but when you lose on an inside-the-park home run and it's a pretty easy inside-the-park home run and nobody's near that ball that was rolling out there in center field, yeah, well, it wasn't the greatest display of, trajectory judging by Brandon Marsh there. So that was a crazy way to end the game, by the way. I mean, my goodness. Well, walk off inside the park home run, you don't see that very often. First time it happened with a catcher, I believe, in 90-plus years. But it wasn't the first Phillies Giants walk off inside the park home run. As Bob Lanier, I believe, did it. I think it was sometime in the 80s. I wasn't born yet, but I did see it on Twitter. That was going around a little bit. So brutal for the Phillies, but pretty cool way to end a game, I will say. But getting back to the trade deadline stuff, I love Stephen Kwan. I think he would be an awesome name for the Phillies to be able to get. And clearly, Class A has been mentioned in some trade rumors as well. And a package for the two of them would cost you big, big time, you know, return. And that's probably one of those trades where you might be giving up, say, Aiden Miller and even more. Like, you might be giving up Aiden Miller, Tyeet, and like Mick Abel if you're trading for both Class A and for Stephen Kwan. So that would be a pretty hefty price to pay, but at the same time, you'd be able to address two needs. And while Class A is trending down, and I don't necessarily love the idea of giving up a giant haul for him, if you're getting Stephen Kwan also in that return, that addresses a couple of needs and has guys who have played in the postseason before, which is obviously important. And I will say, though, Cleveland also has some other arms in that bullpen that would definitely be intriguing at the deadline as well if they wanted to package a reliever with Stephen Kwan. You got Hunter Gaddis, who's had a really good last couple seasons. Cade Smith, who has put up some good numbers as well. So you've got some guys in that Cleveland bullpen, if they were to pursue Stephen Kwan, that you could package and sort of make a offer a king's ransom for, which would be definitely interesting and a big-time move from Dave Dombrowski. He's definitely not something that he has done yet here in his Phillies tenure. So another package that I thought could be interesting, a couple of them I'll give, is with Baltimore, and it's been mentioned a bunch of times before, maybe Felix Bautista, Cedric Mullins. You address, especially defensively in the outfield. Mullins is really good out there, play center, and probably not the bat, the impact bat that you're looking for, though, but Bautista, one of the best young closers in the league and throws absolute gas and is really, really impressive to watch. You've got, I mentioned Buxton earlier, a couple bullpen arms out there in Minnesota that have been mentioned, or Joan Duran, of course, who has been really good since, taking over the closer spot in Minnesota for the past few years and throws absolute gas, similar to Bautista there. And Griffin Jacks, another interesting arm. He's got some pretty nasty stuff. And if you didn't want to pay the price for Duran, I think Jacks is a really good fallback option when you're trading with Minnesota potentially. So, and one last package I thought, Aroldis Chapman, clearly been a name that's been mentioned a bunch before. He's thrown 101, 102 this year, which is pretty crazy considering I think he's almost 40 at this point. But he would be somebody you wouldn't probably give up a lot for because he's a rental with him being in his upper 30s. And Jaron Duran has been another name that has been mentioned. So you could get those two guys in a package, maybe upgrade your outfield a little bit. Even though, similar to how I feel about Class A, it seems like Duran is on the downtrend. Jaron Duran, not Joan Duran. Jaron Duran has been on the downtrend a little bit this year with the Red Sox. So those are kind of my deadline thoughts. And with that article with Gelb, just sort of wrap it all up, it seems like the Phillies are least willing to listen on anything that doesn't involve Andrew Painter. And, you know, Andrew Painter has struggled at AAA a little bit this year. There's no doubt about it. But it also takes guys, believe it or not, especially him at the ripe age of 22, to come back from Tommy John. It's not an easy thing. And I still have full faith that he is going to be a very good pitcher for the Phillies in the future. And it really does seem like they are adamant about not trading him, especially considering Zach Wheeler. He's said he's retiring after 2027, so you have to take him up on his word at that point. Who knows what Aaron Nola is going to be for the duration of his contract? Ranger Suarez is a free agent this offseason. Like, you can't trade away a giant piece of your rotation for the next decade plus, potentially, to take a flyer on a guy who isn't an absolute, absolute superstar. Like, I mentioned Ronald Acuna half-jokingly before. If the Braves said right now, we'll take Andrew Painter, we'll give you Ronald Acuna, okay, we'll talk. But it needs to be a bona fide superstar. Like, if Cleveland wanted to say, you know what, we'll let you listen in on Jose Ramirez, that would be something I would listen to with Andrew Painter. But if you're not getting a bona fide superstar for Painter, I just don't see the Phillies doing that. And that's kind of what the Gelb article laid out there. So
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Those are my big time or big picture trade deadline thoughts as we get closer and closer. And obviously these next few weeks are going to sort of say a lot about what comes out rumor-wise and especially how the team plays too. Like if the team comes out of the All-Star break, guns a-blazing, they look really good and they sort of reestablish like a bigger lead in the NL East, then, I mean, why wouldn't you go for it this year? Because you finally have the farm system stocked up with some really good prospects, feels like for the first time in a long time. And you know what? This is a year where you can go for it because it does feel like this National League and, you know, the American League as well are kind of wide open here. So those are my big time trade deadline thoughts here. Want to get to this rotation, and I said it last week, but just insert notes, insert copy and paste every single week. This rotation is unbelievable. Zach Wheeler was selected as an All-Star, probably should start the All-Star game in his hometown or in his home state of Georgia, as it'll be in Atlanta this year. But two big-time snubs in Christopher Sanchez and Ranger Suarez, especially today. David Peterson gets the nod from the Mets to replace Robbie Ray in the All-Star game. And if you look at their numbers side by side, it's just like pure injustice. I mean, Sanchez got a 4.2 WAR as opposed to David Peterson's 1.8. Christopher Sanchez has a 2.59 as opposed to Peterson's 3.18. His ERA plus is 165. Peterson's is 120. Christopher Sanchez has 116 strikeouts and Peterson's 87. Like, what are we doing here? And the fact that I understand, and I still would have Ranger in the All-Star game, but I understand at one point, or from this point of Ranger missing all of April and that counting against him, like, I get that that's part of the reason why he wasn't selected the All-Star game because, I mean, among qualified starters, his ERA, I think, is like the best at this point. But Christopher Sanchez has been doing it all season, and he has been a stud for this rotation. And you could argue he's been as good, if not better, than Zach Wheeler at times this year. So don't understand the Christopher Sanchez thing at all. He should absolutely be in the All-Star game heading to Atlanta, and we'll see if anybody else drops out and they finally get him in there. But just ridiculous because Christopher Sanchez has just been absolutely phenomenal to watch this year. And Luzardo, big time bounce back in San Francisco yesterday. I have to talk about it. Was really, really impressed with what I saw from Jesus. And just felt like he was pitching with a little more confidence. Felt like on that July 4th start where he kind of got lit up about a week ago, he came out really juiced up and was, you know, ready to make a big time start. It almost felt like he was a little too emotional on the mound to where he kind of let things get away from him once they started unraveling the second and third inning. When he locks in and he's able to locate command with be in control with his command and sort of keep the ball out of the middle of the plate, that's when he's going best. And I feel like sometimes he is a guy where he pitches with a little emotion and he gets juiced up a little bit before each start. And I think that once he sort of finds a way to settle in and is a little more stoic on the mound in a way to where I feel like sometimes it can actually affect his control, that's what I saw over those last two starts from Luzardo. And he looked way more locked in yesterday, and it was good to see because he was nasty. He went seven innings, scoreless ball, and you know what? For what's been a really rocky month and a half, it goes to show you that sometimes there actually are ebbs and flows in baseball, believe it or not. And I was happy to see Luzardo come out there yesterday and throw seven innings. And what was a much-needed game for the Phillies because that was a rough couple of games up there in San Francisco because, you know, you lose the night before on a walk-off inside the park home run. You lose the night before in what was definitely a winnable game. And I just love to see these starters each stepping up and saying, you know what, this is a big game for our club and we need to go out there and we got to shove. And that's just what they've all really done all year. And you know what? Even Taiwan the other night wasn't a bad outing from him at all. And he went five innings, give them a chance to win the game. And this starting rotation, if they end up winning a World Series this year, will go down in Philadelphia lore for a long time because they are just really fun to watch. And going to move on to the lineup a little bit here because it was good to see another guy come through yesterday when it mattered, when it really mattered. And Bryce Harper, some are calling him back, and I won't go that far yet, but he had some really good signs yesterday as he had four extra base hits, including a homer, three doubles, and he was hitting the ball all the other way. Like, everything was the other way. He was squaring it up, and it was, you know, multiple different pitches there. And after the game, he had a really funny, you know, good Bryce quote to where he was like, you know, people forget, but, you know, I'm really good, man. Like, I'm really good at baseball. I'm Bryce Harper. I've been doing this for a long time. And when he finally gets that confidence and you can sort of, it feels like it radiates off him. And I don't want to say he's been mopey Bryce when he's been struggling and when he's been hurt, but you can see, like, he wears it. Like, you can see he's not happy with himself when he's struggling because he feels like he's letting the team down, which, you know, I appreciate and I can admire about him. But at the same time, he is one of the leaders of this baseball team and they sort of go emotionally as Bryce does sometimes. So to see him have that confidence and to hit the ball the way he did yesterday because he was smoking that thing to left field and probably would have had a couple more home runs if it was in some other ballparks. And great stuff to see from Bryce. And hopefully he carries that into San Diego this weekend and goes into the All-Star break feeling really good about himself. So great stuff from Bryce. But overall, really, really rough series with runners in scoring position. I mentioned the 0 for 24 stretch in the open there, but it just felt like they couldn't get a clutch hit to save their life. And then Otto Kemp finally came through the other night, and then Schwarber hit the home run, but it all goes for nothing after the inside the Parker. So that was frustrating, but it just does feel like it's one of those ebbs and flows things because believe it or not, before this rough two-week stretch with runners in scoring position, the Phillies ranked like second, believe it or not, in batting average with runners in scoring position in the National League. So I think it's just one of those tough little stretches they're going through, but at the same time, it is apparent that this lineup could use some help and it could use some depth to it. So, again, really, really hope they are pursuing a big-time bat. Not an Austin Hayes, you know, not a Rodolfo Castro they got a couple of years ago. Go out and get a serious bat that you feel good about both on the field and at the plate. So that's where I'm at with the run scoring position thing. Schwarber, want to congratulate him. Another all-star selection for Kyle Schwarber, much deserved. And one guy, though, a total snub, in my opinion, is Trey Turner. And I understand that Ellie's having a great season, and Lindor got the fan vote to start, even though I would argue right now that Trey is having a better season than Francisco Lindor this year. I just don't know how the, you know, National League, I think he's in second now. Batting average leader, first in hits, first in a bunch of categories offensively, is not in the All-Star game. And again, I know the Phillies had a ton of guys in the All-Star game last year and the season didn't end up going well. Hopefully these guys use it as a little chip on their shoulder going for the rest of the year to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to show them why I was an All-Star. And I also think that's why in baseball it's difficult to judge guys by All-Star appearances. Like Bryce only, I think, has a couple since becoming a Philly, and that's because he's been hurt a couple years. He didn't get off to a great start. I mean, in 2021, he won the freaking NL MVP. And didn't get selected to the All-Star game. So I always think the All-Star game is a little tough way to judge guys. So, but yeah, I thought Trey should have been in for sure. He's been awesome in the first half of this year and has definitely cleaned up some of his fielding stuff too. And I know he booted the one ball in San Francisco, but they ended up getting the out. But if you look metrically at his defense, it has been much, much better this season. That's a credit to him because he is a guy that works hard. Is he the greatest defender? No, but that is one thing everyone in that clubhouse says about Trey Turner is that he works as hard as any guy in there. And for him to go out and really try to work on his craft of being a shortstop, definitely give him some credit for that. And it's showing this year. So that's a kind of thoughts I had lineup-wise. Get to the bullpen real quick before we get to the weekend preview. Jordan Romano, I'm over it. I'm done with it. And the ERA is above 7 now, and it does feel like he, when he has bad outing, it's one of those that just snowballs into like 3 or 4 runs because it feels like it's either that or he goes 1, 2, 3. Like there's no in between. So when he gets into trouble, and a lot of that is because he doesn't hold runners on well, and that is something that for a guy who's going to be pitching potentially late in games in the postseason, that doesn't thrill me. So they definitely need to add bullpen arms. Like, obviously, I was talking about my priority being a bat, but they need bullpen arms. There's no doubt about it. And the Romano swing and miss from Dombrowski this past offseason is a tough one because they were relying on him to sort of replace the Jeff Hoffman role, and that has just not been the case. And Hoffman's been a lot better lately for the Blue Jays, and now you're going to have to give up prospects for a new Jeff Hoffman or somebody who's going to fill that role. So I understand why they made the move. It was a high upside, but what if type of move, and it's unfortunately one of those that is the what if is getting proven right here. So, but aside from Kirkering, it's just very difficult to trust any arm in that bullpen right now. I know Tanner Banks has put up some good numbers, but that's more of a I need a longer sample size here to really believe that. And would I be fine with him being like second or third lefty out of the pen? Sure. But Strom is not at a point to where I trust him as the first lefty out of the pen. And there are just some other guys like besides that, you got like Joe Ross. You've got who they didn't want to put in the ninth inning the other night, made Romano go a second inning. And Max Lazar has been pretty solid since coming up from AAA. But besides from that, you really don't have much in this bullpen that you can feel confident and trustworthy in moving forward. So we'll see how it is after the deadline. They're obviously going to end up moving a starter to the bullpen once the postseason gets going. We'll see if it's Lizardo or not and how he finishes the year. And a lot will depend on Aaron Nola too. So get to this weekend preview before we get out of here. Friday night, Ranger Suarez versus a starter to be announced for the Padres there. And Ranger, again, just pitching really, really well last 10 starts, I believe, since the first start against Arizona. And his velocity was back up in his last start as opposed to the one in Atlanta. So good sign there. I think everything is all good with Ranger. Then you got Wheeler going up against Yu Darvish in a Game 5 2022 NLCS rematch. And Darvish started the year off hurt. I believe he didn't pitch the first few months and hasn't been great since returning. So hopefully the Phillies can jump on him a little bit. Don't think Kyle Schwarber will be hitting a home run as long as he did in Game 1 of the NLCS, but we will see about that. And then Sunday, you will have Christopher Sanchez going up against Nick Pivetta, who actually was pretty solid in his start against the Phillies the other week. So we'll see how he fares in his final game before the All-Star break. So that is going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And have a good weekend and enjoy the last weekend of Phillies baseball before the All-Star break. For Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries. and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.